Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the second Sunday of Advent, 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her service is at an end, her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go up on a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Fear not to cry out, and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God, who rules his strong arm. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. Like a shepherd he feeds his flock. In his arms he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom, and leading the ewes with care. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
I will hear what God proclaims. The Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him. Glory dwelling in our land.
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation.
Kindness and truth shall meet. Justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven.
Lord, let us see your kindness, and grant us your salvation.
The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and prepare the way of his steps.
Lord, let us see your kindness, and grant us your salvation. A reading from the second letter of Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some regard delay, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a mighty roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and everything done on it will be found out. Since everything is to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you be, conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in flames, and the elements melted by fire? But according to his promise, we await new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him at peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian. I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here to discuss the second Sunday of Advent. And Dawn, before we start, I wanted to say something. I wanted to add like a little correction or maybe clarification to something I said last week.
Okay.
When we were talking about symbols for Advent, and we talked about the Advent wreath, and I made a comment. I said that it wasn't a liturgical symbol, and then I thought, and I said, I hope nobody goes to Father Mull and tells him he needs to take the Advent wreath out of the church because it's not a liturgical symbol. But what I meant by that was that it's not primarily a liturgical symbol, so it's something that's appropriate to have in your home and to do on your own, too, as well as it's appropriate to have it in the church. So in case people were going and correcting Father Mull, now you have to go back and say, oh, I'm sorry, Brian was not clear in what he was saying, and you can keep the Advent wreath in the church.
You're the reason we don't have an Advent. I'm just kidding.
There you go. But so I just wanted to make that little clarification. The other thing, Dawn, do you know what? I heard something that was kind of disturbing the other day.
Oh, dear.
I heard that some people listen to the podcast and they forward over the first half and just listen to like this part of the podcast.
Oh, boy.
As if like what we say is more important than the Word of God.
Well, as much as I think what I say is important, it's probably not quite as much.
Anyway, yeah, I agree. I said, so if you do that, go back and listen to the Word of God and then come listen to like our, you know, schmuck talk about it. But, you know, I said, the Word of God is the important thing on the podcast. You know, we're just kind of like the commentary, the fluff on it or something.
I'm just the cherry on top.
It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, wanting the stuffing instead of the turkey.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
You know. Anyway, let's talk about some of these readings here, I think.
That people have fast-forwarded over, so now they've gone back and listened to them.
That's
right. Now we can begin.
Now we can begin, exactly. One of the things, I actually liked the first reading. I always like these first readings from Isaiah for Advent because it's all these preparatory readings, and you hear about preparing the way of the Lord. And there's two elements that I find interesting in this. One is the in the desert part. And I've talked about that a lot on the podcast, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. And kind of this way that we need to remove all these distractions from around us to prepare. In the desert, you don't really have too many distractions or things to distract you from the task at hand. Usually it's getting out of the desert, but but it's a place of solitude where you're left only with yourself and to confront yourself or yourself and God and to confront that relationship. And I think that that's good advice as we prepare for Advent because, of course, in our society, you know, we have so many things that can distract us, especially around this time of year. The holiday season is always busy, and I think rightfully so. We talked a little about that last week about how it's a preparatory time for the birth of Christ, so we should be singing and things. But we also need to make sure we do the things for ourselves that we need to do to prepare to receive God incarnate into our lives, to receive the child Jesus into our own lives. So I think that that's something that always strikes me from that first reading. And the second part, though, is this going up on a high mountain and heralding glad tidings and that type of a thing. So not only do we need to be in the desert, but we also need to come out of that desert and then proclaim the good tidings, the good news of Christ being born, of God coming into our world to offer us salvation, to enter into our human life.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about how my life often reflects those two destinations. You know, there's times in the desert and then there's the times that you're on the mountaintop, like metaphorically speaking, like if you're on a retreat
high.
You're
not high, up on Bristol or anything.
No, I'm not on Bristol skiing down. No, I don't do that thing. But if you're on a retreat high up on the mountain, we often call that a mountaintop experience, but that's often when I'm most ready to proclaim how great God is after experience this great weekend. But then there are the other times when I'm down in the valley or out in the desert, and you know how both parts of that are so important to our lives, because if you always lived on the high, you would never experience too much more growth. It's usually growth comes when you're down in the valley or out in the desert. And
right.
And the other thing you said about preparing the way of the Lord, and here we have John the Baptist in the gospel, and he's, you know, make your path straight and things like that. And so I got to thinking about, well, what does it mean to make your path straight if you're talking about it literally? And so this whole image of, if I have turned away from God, my path has gone away. And so if I'm making my path straight, I'm turning back towards God. And perhaps that's going to receive the sacrament through reconciliation or coming back to church or all of that stuff. And I had never really thought about my turning away. God's always going straight down, but I have turned away and off the path. And so I was just thinking about that.
Another image, too, aside from that, is just the crooked paths. They don't even have to necessarily be 100% evil paths or something like that. They're just crooked.
Oh, right.
They're not
yeah.
the shortest distance between you and God or the direct path. They're kind of these wanderings off in the wrong direction, similar like whenever I drive anywhere. I've got a horrid sense of direction, so I never usually take the straight path. I am going all over the place and then finally end up at my destination, so it's not the most efficient way to do it, and it can be a frustrating way. It would be nice if I did have that straight path. All the time. And of course, you know, the crooked path is, in a sense, like you said, it's a straying away from God because you're not going straight towards him as we should be when we are going on those crooked paths. And so I think you're right, John, is telling us here to prepare the way of the Lord and to make it a straight path. Don't, you know, wander off and go all over the place. Go straight to God.
And speaking of John, I know we've talked about this in other Advents, but could you talk a little bit about the difference between John baptizing versus, you know, if you brought a baby to church this weekend and they were baptized, what is the difference between the two baptisms?
Ah, the two baptisms, yes. The John the Baptist, of course, was a precursor, so he came before Christ, and we say that he was there to do exactly what he's proclaiming, to prepare the way of the Lord. So he was preparing people to receive Christ. And his baptism is really a preparatory baptism. So he's baptizing people so that they could be prepared. And it's marked by repentance. So it's marked by making those crooked paths straight. Whereas now, because we live after Christ, the baptism that we celebrate is the baptism of Christ, which isn't a preparatory baptism, but it's one that incorporates us into the body of Christ. So we talk about the church as being the collective body of Christ. So we're all members of this body of Christ, and our baptism is one that incorporates us into that, but also it's not one of repentance, but one of forgiveness too. Mm. So John's is about recognizing your own sinfulness and repenting from it, whereas ours is slightly nuanced. It's about receiving the actual forgiveness that Christ offers for sins. So in our baptism, sins are actually forgiven. John's is more symbolic and preparatory, if you will. So it's not really something that affects us in the same way that our baptism does today. We talk about our baptism as creating a ontological change is what we talk about here at the seminary. And ontological is a word that means it has to do with the study of being or the philosophy of being itself. So your being is changed when you're baptized. So you go from being a non-member of this body to Christ to being a member of this body of Christ. And when that happens, something in you has changed, and it's a permanent change. So it's not something that can be taken away. It's not something that, no matter how bad you are or whatever you do, you're still, once baptized, always baptized. So you're still always a member of this body of Christ. So it creates a real change. John's doesn't really do that. John's is more of a symbolic change that it brings about in you and hopefully creates a change of attitude for the people who received it. But it doesn't actually do anything on the level of one's own being or one's own, you know, who they are in terms of relationship to God.
So John didn't baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, obviously.
Obviously, no, because at the point when John was doing this, the whole Trinity hadn't actually been revealed yet, because it was Christ who reveals the fact that God is a triune God to us. Before that, the Jewish tradition always just had the Father or God or Yahweh or whatever name they chose to address him by, but he was always seen as that one person. And it's not until Jesus comes that we have it revealed to us that God is not one person, but three persons in one God. And that's a whole nother podcast.
And that hurts my head thinking about
that's right. And Don, on that note, I'm realizing it looks like we're coming towards the end of our time on the podcast today. So I thank you for joining me and thank all of our listeners for joining us after having listened to the Word of God, which I'm sure they all did because we've lectured them now.
And, you know, we should mention, we haven't in a while, if you want to go and read those readings and you're not, you don't have, you know, a missalette or anything near you, you can go to the USCCB site and read them there. So it's www.usccb.org/NAB, and then you click on the dates
yes.
that you like.
And hopefully the right calendar is up. Right now the November calendar is still up.
But on the left side of the page, if you go down, you can find them
okay.
there. And also, if you want to do daily readings, and we only do a podcast once a week, but if you want to read the daily readings and, you know, you're somewhere where you could
yep.
do that.
And for those who don't know, too, USCCB is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So you're going to the bishop's website when you go there. So just so you don't wonder, you don't wonder where we're directing you to, you know, if we're directing you to some heretical site or something. Anyway, well, we've provided a lot of information, I think, for people this week, and hopefully they'll be back next week to join us again, and maybe we'll be able to provide them with some information then, too. Have a good week. God bless.